In the new book, It Didn't Start With You and How Inherited Family Trauma Shapes Who We Are and How to End the Cycle, Mark Wolin, director of the Family Constellation Institute and creator of the Core Language Approach, shows how the traumas of our parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents can live in our anxious words, fears, behaviors, and unexplained physical symptoms. What scientists are now calling inherited family trauma or secondary PTSD. Even if the person who suffered the original trauma has died, or the story has been forgotten or silenced, memory and feelings can live on. These emotional legacies are often hidden, encoded in everything from gene expression to everyday language, and they play a far greater role in our emotional and physical health than has ever before been understood. Mark Wolin is a leading expert on inherited family trauma as the director of the Family Constellation Institute in San Francisco. He trains clinicians and treats people struggling with depression, anxiety, panic disorder, obsessive thoughts, self-injury, chronic pain, and illness. Again, the title of the new book is It Didn't Start With You, and we welcome Mark Wolin to the roundtable this morning. Mark, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it. Give us an idea.
Thank you for having me.
Your work is fascinating, and I'm interested to hear more as to how you came upon this as far as understanding of what we inherit when it comes to family trauma.
So we're learning that these traumas of our parents and our grandparents, they can embed in our DNA, and they can change the way our genes function for generations, affecting us, our kids, even our children's children. We want to believe that we come in with a clean hard drive, but what we're finding is that there's already an operating system in place that contains the fallout from these traumas. And we can be born, or our children can be born, with fears and feelings that don't belong to them, don't belong to us. And I wrote the book so we can break this cycle. We need to make links that we generally don't make. We think we're the problem.
So we often hear of the term the elephant in the room, but in many cases, as you point out in the book, we don't even know that there's an elephant or that that elephant is in the room in many cases. We don't know what those traumas are from our parents or our grandparents.
Absolutely. We often tell ourselves, I was just born this way, or this is the way I am. But we'll have peculiarities in our symptoms and in our language. I once worked with this young woman, 24 years old. She was a cutter, and she would cut her arms and her abdomen and her legs so deeply that the cuts would be infected and she'd have to be hospitalized. I asked her, what are you thinking when you cut yourself? And she said, I deserve to die. And I said, what have you done? And she said, well, nothing. I said, did you hurt somebody? She said, of course, nothing like that. So we're born with these strange feelings that when we, like breadcrumbs, I like to say, the sentences, the words, the symptoms. In this particular case, when we poked around in her family history, we found her grandmother, an alcoholic, was driving the car. She crashes the car. The grandfather goes in sitting, he's in the riding in the passenger seat. He goes through the windshield and bleeds to death as he's cut. Remember, she's the cutter. He gets cut on the glass, bleeds to death, and then that feeling of I deserve to die would belong to the grandmother. Now, how do we know that's linked, right? When I worked with her, pulling out this story that she'd only heard once or twice, she stopped cutting. Mm. Well, a little more complex than that. We had to work with a practice involving her dead grandmom and her dead grandpa, which sounds kind of strange, but for her, she could feel their support. And every time she went to cut in the future, she had the feeling, oh, this isn't mine. I can leave it with them. It's grandpa who was cut, and it's grandma who felt like she needs to die.
How much of this is a domino theory in the sense that if it happens to the grandparent and then that cycle that feeling, that often unspoken anxiety is brought then to the mother and then to the child and then down the line. And how much of that is an emotional domino effect, and how much of it is an actual, as you point out, an actual scientific domino effect?
It can be a little of everything. But what's intriguing are these out-of-context symptoms or these anxieties that strike suddenly when we reach a certain age or milestone. For example, we get married or we become 30, which is the age our parents divorced, and unconsciously we fall out of love all of a sudden with our partner, or we hit a milestone like we move to a new city or we go to have a kid. Oh, I once worked with this woman who, as soon as she became a new mother, she had no anxiety.
Right.
Until she becomes a new mother. Now she's consumed with anxiety. And so when I asked her some of the questions I outlined in the book, she had a terrible fear that she would do something to harm her baby. And I asked her if anyone in her family had ever harmed a baby, and she said no. And then she said, oh, my God, my grandmother, she lit a fire in the house, and her newborn baby died. And in that minute, she makes a link that she'd never made before, that she had inherited her grandmother's feeling of harming the baby. And so we did work, and she's now a free mother without a calm mother, without the feeling that she could harm her baby. She had context. She had a place to leave it. So this is what we're learning from science. This is heritable stuff. These traumas, we've got to talk about them, because when they're left shrouded in silence, they're hidden. We think we're immunizing our children by not talking about it. Just the opposite. We need to talk about these things so the pattern doesn't continue. That's why I wrote the book.
Well, you talk in the book about how people can identify and map out the traumatic events in their family history that keep this cycle of suffering alive. I have to tell you, Mark, and I'm sure you would agree that, you know, this does not sound like the most fun thing to do, is to dig into your family history to figure out, you know, how screwed up you are.
No, Joe, it requires a little pain. But it's the doorway, actually. We have to go into uncomfortable feelings and be able to sit with them, to tolerate them. And then there can be gold on the other side. But yes, exactly as you put it, we have to explore what can be uncomfortable, what happened to our mom and our dad, and more importantly, how we're doing the same thing. Once we make that link, we can break that cycle. We can start to feel better. We can heal.
Let me ask you about on the other hand. So to use your example of the cutter, of the woman who was cutting herself, mm-hmm. if that link was never found and you did not make that link and she allowed it to go on, how do you then... would you be effective or as effective in treating just her symptoms without knowing that link and the roots and the context of that action?
I think giving her that story, that event, that trauma was the healing that allowed her to have a context where to place it. So she had been to psychiatrists and she took every drug possible. Seroquel, Abilify, all these antipsychotics, nothing had an effect. She'd been in years of counseling, and it wasn't until she hit the right event, the right trauma, that gave her, oh my God, this isn't mine. And that's where she could have some relief. That's the idea. These things stay shrouded in the darkness. We don't know. We walk around and we think it's us. I'm the problem. I was born this way. And when we explore a little, which is the reason I wrote this book, get us exploring. Get us to make these links so we can ease the suffering that we have never been able to get to the bottom to.
Does someone who comes to your door, do you find it, do they do they get to that point if they have been through so many different psychiatrists, psychologists, therapies, medications, and nothing is working, and realize that there is perhaps something more to the problem that needs to be delved into?
Well, that's often what happens. I'm sometimes the last resort. They've tried everything, and they end up on my doorstep with this symptom that's never been able to be allayed. And I've developed this method, I think you mentioned it, called the core language approach, where we look at the emotionally charged words that we use, you and I use, everybody uses, to describe our fears, our symptoms, our relationships. And I see these words like breadcrumbs, that if we follow this breadcrumb trail, it can lead us, yes, it can lead us to a trauma in childhood, but it can also lead us back to a family trauma. And that's where we're shining the light, where the light hasn't been shown before. This is a new field. This is a brand new field. We're talking about biological traumas here. And we need to shine the light. And we have ways now to shine the light on what they call epigenetics by looking at these traumas, how they affect us. When we look at our symptoms, our language out of the box, they lead us. It's a trail that leads us right to where we need to go.
At what point does it change, and I know you write about this in the book, that if it is a situation of mass trauma such as 9/11 or the Holocaust, and we know that our mother or our father or our grandparent or our brother was killed in that tragedy, do we often still not make the connection, or we have to be led to that connection of what it is about that incident that is now affecting us psychologically?
Exactly. So we know these traumas, but we don't make the link that we're carrying it. Do I have time for a quick story?
Yes, sir.
There was a guy I worked with who couldn't even leave the home to go somewhere new. And that's that idiosyncratic language. He kept saying, I can't go somewhere new. He would black out with anxiety attacks, panic attacks, so severe he couldn't go to a new restaurant, he couldn't go to a new neighborhood. His family was held hostage with him in the house. Then he drops the bomb. He said, 74 members of my family died in the Holocaust. And I said to him, you mean they were literally taken forcibly out of their homes to somewhere new, a concentration camp, where they were murdered. Now, he knows this, but in that moment, he didn't realize that he was living it out. And so making these links, that's the first step of the healing. And the second step is the whole second half of my book, doing these practices that bring us peace. We all want peace. How do you get there? Well, you know, you make the link, and then you do some of these practices.
When you think about this this inherited family trauma, and I want to get back to something as we wrap up, that you mentioned, that it is so important to be open, and it's so important to share. What is your feeling of how that should take place? Because I assume you have to be very careful with the information.
I think that we need to talk about these traumas in our family, especially when we have a child that's affected by something. Our child is too small at 10 and 12 and 15 to make this link. So we can very gently say, oh, I had a sister I never talked about who died when she was young, and I want to tell you about her. In fact, here's her picture. And, you know, maybe if your child's small, we draw color. You know, we draw a picture of her, and we present it in a way so the child can make a – it doesn't – our children are intuitive. They're innocent. They can carry things without realizing that they're carrying things. It's our responsibility to look at these traumas, to share them, and not keep them hidden. If I found anything that can immunize us from having these traumas spread into the next generation, it is talking about what happened so it's not a secret. Because secrets can be acted out. Secret traumas that we don't know about can even have the greatest effect. And like you said, they're not comfortable, but it brings peace. And that's what's important.
The name of the book is It Didn't Start With You, How Inherited Family Trauma Shapes Who We Are and How to End the Cycle. The book is by Mark Wolin. It is published by Viking. Mark, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning, and best of luck in your work.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Great pleasure. Thank you. Again, Mark Wolin, author of It Didn't Start With You. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.